Welcome back to Condor Currents, the podcast that flows through the latest in computer architecture research and RISC-V innovation. I'm Ty Garibay, president of Condor Computing. This episode is brought to you by Condor Computing high-performance RISC-V processor IP from Andes Technology, the world's leading RISC-V processor IP provider with 30% market share and over 12 billion SoCs shipped. Learn more at condorcomputing.com. Today, we've got a really fascinating mix for you. We're diving into expert prefetching for AI inference, a wild idea called an address-free processor that might just make you rethink everything you know about how CPUs work. And then we're hitting the news with the ISA Wars check-in, RISC-V vector support for scientific computing, and some exciting quantum-safe silicon developments. Let's get into it. All right, first up from the archive, we have a paper titled A Spatiotemporal Expert Prefetching Framework for Efficient MoE-Based LLM Inference from Yingnan Zhao, Razvan Bunescu, Ahmed Luri, and colleagues. And this one is right at the intersection of AI systems and memory architecture, which is a space I find absolutely fascinating right now. So let me set the stage. You've probably heard a lot of buzz around mixture of experts models. Things like DeepSeek and Qwen, the basic idea behind MoE is elegant. Instead of having one big monolithic neural network that processes every single input the same way, you have a collection of specialized subnetworks called experts. And for any given input token, only a small subset of those experts actually gets activated. It's kind of like having a hospital with a bunch of different specialists. When you come in with a problem, you don't need to consult every single doctor on staff. You get routed to the two or three that are relevant to your situation. That routing keeps costs down dramatically, and that's the beauty of MoE from a computational standpoint. You can massively scale up the total number of parameters in the model without proportionally scaling up the compute per token. So you get a smarter model without necessarily paying the full compute bill. Sounds great, right?
Well, here's where the architecture problem lives, and it's a hardware problem through and through. These models are enormous. We're talking about hundreds of experts, each with their own set of weights. And the total parameter count can be absolutely massive, way too large to fit in your GPU's high bandwidth memory, or even your system's main memory in some configurations. So what happens? The experts that aren't currently being used have to sit on storage, maybe NVMe SSDs, maybe some slower tier of memory. And when they're needed, they get loaded in. And that loading latency, that is your bottleneck. That's where your inference throughput goes to die. Think about it from a classic computer architecture perspective. This is essentially the same problem we've been fighting forever. Memory latency, the processor needs data. The data isn't close by and you stall. We've been solving variants of this problem with caches and prefetchers for decades in traditional CPU design. And what these researchers are doing is bringing that same mindset to the MoE inference problem. Their framework is called the spatiotemporal prefetching approach. And I love the framing here.
The spatial component looks at which experts tend to be activated together at the same time. If expert 7 fires, there's a good chance expert 12 fires right alongside it, because certain combinations of expertise tend to cluster around certain types of inputs. The temporal component looks at patterns across time. If there's a sequence of tokens that tends to activate a certain progression of experts, you can start predicting and prefetching ahead. So rather than waiting until the model's router says, I need expert 42, and then going off to fetch it from slow storage, you're building a prediction system that says, based on what I've seen, I think we're going to need expert 42 in about 3 steps. So let me start the load now. Classic prefetching intuition, but applied to a completely new domain. Why does this matter for computer architects specifically? Because this is a reminder that the memory hierarchy problem doesn't go away, it just shapeshifts. As AI workloads become the dominant compute workload of our era, we need architecture innovations that speak directly to those access patterns.
The spatiotemporal locality of expert activation is real and exploitable. And that's the kind of insight that architects live for. If you're designing hardware accelerators or memory systems for AI inference, this paper is giving you a behavioral model of the workload that you can build hardware features around. Prefetch engines, smarter memory controllers, tiered memory hierarchies, all of that becomes more powerful when you understand the access pattern at this level of detail. Really solid work. And check the show notes for links. Okay, now we're moving on to paper number 2. And I have to say, this one is genuinely one of the more mind-bending things I've read in a while. The paper is called MADAR, an address-free processor by Mohamed Amine Burgak. And the title alone should make any computer architect do a double take. Address-free? What does that even mean? Stick with me, because this is a deep one. Let's start with a fundamental observation the author makes right at the top, and it's a really striking one. In a modern processor, computing is actually the cheap part. most of your chip area and most of your energy budget goes to addressing to the business of moving operands around, managing register files, running cache tag arrays, handling miscues, bypass networks, all of this infrastructure whose entire purpose is to answer one question: where did I put that value and how do I get it back? Think about that for a second. The transistors doing the actual multiplication, the ALU doing the add, that's a relatively small part of the die. It's all the machinery around that computation, the memory system, the register file, the cache hierarchy that dominates your area and your power. We at Condor Computing think about this constantly when we're designing RISC-V processor IP with Andy's technology. The memory hierarchy is where the complexity lies. So Mater asks a radical question. What if we just abolished addresses? What if there was no register file, no cache tags, no address calculation at all? How would that even work? Here's the key insight. Mater organizes all processor state into rings of slots.
Think of it like a rotating carousel. Imagine a circular conveyor belt with a fixed number of slots on it. And that belt advances by one position every clock cycle. Instructions and data both ride on this carousel together. And here's the beautiful part. Instead of giving a value an address, you identify it by its position in an orbit. The name of a value is essentially when it's going to come around again. It's a temporal coordinate rather than a spatial address. So when you write a value, you know exactly how many ticks until it comes back around to you, and you write your instruction to consume it at precisely that moment. The instruction is scheduled to meet the data in the slot at the right time. It's like if you wanted to hand a note to someone on a merry-go-round, instead of labeling the note with a seat number, you just know that seat 7 comes around every 30 seconds. So you stand there and hand it off when it passes. Now, what does this buy you? It completely eliminates the tag comparison logic. No cache tags to match, no register file ports to arbitrate, no bypass network to figure out which of 4 pending writes is the one you actually need right now.
All of that complexity gone. The value is where it is in the ring, and the timing is deterministic. You always know where your data is because you know the rhythm of the carousel. From a power and area perspective, this is potentially huge. All those structures we just talked about, tag arrays, bypass logic, register files with multiple read and write ports, these are expensive. They consume area, they consume power, and they add design complexity that creates verification headaches. Now, is Mader solving every problem in computer architecture? No, and the author isn't claiming that. This is an exploratory architectural concept, and there are real questions about how you handle irregular access patterns, how you deal with variable latency operations like cache misses, how you compile for this kind of machine. But that's what makes it exciting research. It's a genuinely novel way of thinking about the fundamental contract between instructions and data in a processor. From a RISC-V ecosystem perspective, it makes me think about the diversity of architectures that the open hardware world enables.
RISC-V's modularity encourages exactly this kind of experimentation. You can build radically different microarchitectures while still participating in a shared ecosystem. Mader is the kind of idea that might end up influencing how we think about specialized accelerator design, even if it doesn't replace general purpose processors. The address-free insight that naming by time instead of space eliminates whole categories of hardware, that's a gem worth sitting with. Check the show notes for that one. All right, let's shift to the news segment. First up, Hackaday published a piece checking in on the ISA wars and their impact on CPU architectures. Now, when we talk about ISA wars, we're talking about the ongoing competition between the major instruction set architectures x86, ARM, and of course, RISC-V, and how the balance of power among them is shaping the processor landscape. And I'll be honest, as someone who has built a company around RISC-V, I find this conversation endlessly fascinating and also a little bit vindicating.
Because for a long time, the conventional wisdom was that x86 was an unmovable incumbent on the desktop and server side, and ARM owned mobile and embedded. RISC-V was the interesting academic project that might someday matter. That narrative has shifted dramatically. What Hackaday's coverage highlights is that the ISA competition is no longer just academic. It's playing out in real silicon, in real products, and in real purchasing decisions. ARM's move to the cloud with AWS Graviton and Ampere and others has shown that the server market is not x86 exclusive. And RISC-V is making serious inroads in embedded, in AI accelerators, and automotive, and increasingly in higher performance applications. The interesting architectural angle here is that ISA choice has downstream effects on everything. Your ISA shapes your compiler ecosystem, your binary compatibility story, your power efficiency envelope, your ability to add custom extensions, and RISC-V's open, extensible nature is a genuine differentiator.
When you're designing an AI accelerator or a domain-specific processor, the ability to add custom instructions that are recognized by the compiler toolchain without negotiating with a proprietary ISA vendor. That's a real capability advantage. What this ISA competition is doing is forcing architectural innovation across the board. x86 vendors are pushing hard on efficiency. ARM is pushing into more domains, and RISC-V is growing a commercial ecosystem that's increasingly mature. Andes Technology, which backs Condor Computing's RISC-V IP, has shipped over 12 billion SoCs. That's not academic numbers. That's real market penetration. The ISA wars aren't over, but RISC-V has firmly established itself as a serious contender, not a curiosity. And the long-term winner in this competitive environment is going to be the ecosystem that makes it easiest to innovate and differentiate, which is exactly what OpenSilicon is designed to do. Next up in the news, RISC-V International posted about supporting RIJA and scientific applications on RISC-V vector, or RVV architectures.
Now, if you're not familiar with RAJA, it's a performance portability library developed at Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory that lets you write scientific computing code once and run it efficiently across different hardware backends, CPUs, and so on. The fact that RAJA is now getting RISC-V vector support is actually a really significant moment for the RISC-V ecosystem in high-performance computing. Scientific computing is one of those domains that has historically been dominated by x86 and increasingly by GPUs for the vectorizable, parallelizable parts of the workload. Getting a production-grade portability layer like RAJA to work on RVV is a bridge-building exercise that matters enormously. Here's why RVV, the RISC-V vector extension, is architecturally quite elegant. Unlike fixed-width SIMD extensions like Intel's AVX, which define specific register widths and have to add new extensions every time you want to go wider, RVV uses a vector length agnostic approach. You write your vector code once and it can take advantage of whatever vector width the implementation provides, whether that's 128 bits, 256 bits, 512 bits, or more.
That's a much cleaner programming model for software developers, and it means your code doesn't go stale as hardware evolves. So RAJA on RVV means scientific computing workloads. Think computational fluid dynamics, molecular dynamics, climate simulations can now target RISC-V vector hardware through a well-established portability framework that pulls RISC-V into conversations about HPC procurement and deployment that it simply wasn't part of before. And as RISC-V processors continue to mature in the server and HPC space, having the software stack ready is critical. You can have the best hardware in the world, but if the scientific computing community can't run their codes on it without a massive porting effort, adoption stalls. This work removes that barrier. Really exciting progress for the RISC-V ecosystem in a domain that moves a lot of compute workload. And finally, in the news, Synergy Quantum announced quantum-safe silicon IP cores for RISC-V-based SoCs.
Now, this is a topic that's getting a lot more attention lately as the cryptographic community grapples with the eventual reality of quantum computers powerful enough to break current public key encryption schemes. The threat model here is real, even if the timeline is debated. Current asymmetric cryptography, things like RSA and elliptic curve cryptography, relies on mathematical problems that are believed to be hard for classical computers, but are theoretically solvable by a sufficiently powerful quantum computer using Shor's algorithm. We don't have such a quantum computer today, but the cryptographic community operates on long timescales. The silicon you design today might be in the field for 10, 15, 20 years. And there's a concept called harvest now, decrypt later. Adversaries can capture encrypted traffic today and hold it until they have a quantum computer capable of breaking it. So the urgency is real, even before large-scale quantum computers exist. The National Institute of Standards and Technology finalized its first set of post-quantum cryptography standards, and now the hardware industry needs to follow.
What Synergy Quantum is doing is building silicon IP cores that implement these post-quantum algorithms as hardware accelerators that can be integrated into RISC-V-based SoCs. Why does this matter for the RISC-V ecosystem specifically? Because RISC-V's extensibility and its open IP ecosystem make it a natural platform for adding security capabilities. If you're building an SoC for an industrial application, a connected vehicle, an IoT device, anything that handles sensitive data and has a long field life, you want quantum-safe cryptography baked into your silicon, and with RISC-V, you have the flexibility to integrate third-party IP cores like these without being locked into one vendor's security philosophy. From an architecture standpoint, implementing post-quantum algorithms in hardware is non-trivial. Many of these algorithms, things like Crystal's Kyber for key encapsulation and Crystal's Dilithium for digital signatures, are computationally heavier than their classical counterparts and benefit significantly from hardware acceleration.
Having dedicated silicon for these operations keeps your main processor cores free for application work while meeting the performance requirements of secure communications. It's a great example of how the RISC-V ecosystem's composable IP model creates value for system designers tackling emerging challenges. Check the show notes for links on this one, and that wraps up today's episode of Condor Currents. We covered some fascinating ground from spatiotemporal expert prefetching that brings classic architecture intuition to the AI inference problem, to the mind-bending address-free made our processor concept through the evolving ISA landscape, RISC-V vector support for scientific computing, and quantum-safe silicon for RISC-V ESOC's Condor Currents, brought to you by Condor Computing, part of Andes Technologies' RISC-V processor IP portfolio. If you found today's episode valuable, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps us reach more architects, engineers, and researchers who geek out on this stuff just like we do. Tomorrow, we'll be back with more cutting-edge architecture research and RISC-V developments, so don't miss it.
Until then, keep building the future of computing.